coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. Obviously, we've got a lot of issues that are facing the American people right now. The budget, the potential government shutdown. You've got a spineless House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, a member of the Uniparty. What a spineless individual that man is. Matt Gaetz coming out and saying, look, I'm not going to vote for any CR continuing resolution. In other words, to advance the federal budget. Interestingly, too, you talk about some irony here, and you just can't make this stuff up, these headlines. Did you know, and Eric the Tech, I want to ask you this, did you know that a motion to vacate, was found at a baby changing station in the Capitol restroom? Have you heard about this at all?
I did not.
That's all I got to say is found on a baby changing table in a restroom underneath the House floor was a motion to vacate, declaring the office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant. This from Matt Gaetz. Okay. How does that even happen? Look, the Gateway Pundit reported on this that Representative Matt Gaetz slammed House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for his 8 months of inaction on Joe Biden, as well he should, and the Biden crime family. And Gaetz further called on McCarthy to sign a subpoena for Hunter Biden's records and testimony that he took the initiative to draft, which Gaetz did and said, here, all you have to do is date it and sign it. This is to the spineless uniparty troll Kevin McCarthy. It's what a bunch of crap this whole thing is. Okay, it's a crap show. What we're watching is a crap show. Interestingly, yesterday, Jesse Waters, too, if you haven't seen this, look, I'm not a Fox fan, okay? Right now, I'm not a fan of anybody, okay? Right now, I'm not a happy camper. But Jesse Waters did have a good point. War profiteers come in different shapes and sizes. Enter the Clinton Foundation. I wonder if we could, just real quick here, if we can play Waters. I didn't send it to you, but I will make this time up with my guest Richard Proctor here. I will make this time up if we can play this. This is really a good point, but more importantly, this to me, this is not just a good point, but this is the point pretty much of the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton, the witch, and by witch I'm talking the witch, and Bill, whoops, I left some DNA on that blue dress, you know, the devil in the blue dress. Anyway, it really kind of, to me, this was kind of a good piece, if you want to just see this. And again, I will make up on the other side with my guest, Richard Proctor. But take a look at this.
Now, the true winner in any war is always the war machine. But we're just not talking about defense contractors. War profiteers come in different shapes and sizes. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says endless wars are the goal.
The goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan and back into the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not a successful war.
War can be noble, but also a business opportunity. So today, Ukrainian President Zelensky told the United Nations what it wanted to hear.
Humanity is failing on its climate policy objectives. This means that extreme weather will still impact the normal global life, and some evil state will also weaponize its outcomes. When islands and countries disappear underwater, and when tornadoes and deserts are spreading into new territories, and when all of this is happening, one unnatural disaster in Moscow decided to launch a big war.
Pause that for a second.
What country is disappearing?
Just pause that. I mean, have you ever seen a bigger transvestite? Former comedian with his lips just so securely around the rectal cavity of the WHO and the UN ever? And have you ever seen anyone who's got the who's got the goods apparently on the entirety of the 535 in the U.S. Congress? I would say the entirety, maybe a few minus a few, but the entirety they're in. Okay, but Zelensky. And of course, Zelensky, members of the Uniparty, never met a war that they did not like. Play it for like one more minute and then we'll cut it at that point. Go ahead.
Underwater. And his country's getting shelled to death and he's begging us to buy electric cars? Sounds like he's just trying to consolidate Western support for Ukraine by speaking their language and appealing to their green god. Joe Biden approves this message.
I ask the United States Congress for additional funds to expand World Bank financing by $25 billion. If you allow Ukraine to be carved up, is the independence of any nation secure? I'd respectfully suggest the answer is no. It's not only an investment in Ukraine's future, but in the future, every country.
Ukraine. So we have to save the future of the world by saving Ukraine. That is the message. Save democracy, the environment, and the children. And once you say those magic words, the Clintons appear. Today, just 5 minutes from the United Nations, the Clinton Global Initiative announced their very own program to rebuild Ukraine. In other words, the Clintons have found their new Haiti.
Do we really believe we can make the future better for ourselves and others, or not? Doesn't matter if I'm rich and famous and powerful, I can still make a difference, and I can't let anything stand in my way.
Then came Hillary, 1-2 punch.
I believe their fight is our fight, their fight for freedom. So we have to stay with the Ukrainians, and it is really important not to push them to negotiate when, number one, the person you negotiate with is not trustworthy. You cannot trust anything he says.
Diplomat Hillary doesn't want a peace summit. Why rebuild half the country when you can rebuild the whole country years later? They're calling it the Clinton Global Initiative Ukraine Action Network, in a salute to Al Sharpton, whose charities never dodge taxes. Early investors include actor Matt Damon, Liv Schreiber, the Ford Foundation, and of course, Airbnb. Also, the World Bank is in bed with the Clinton Ukraine Action Network. So what did Joe Biden just tell us? The U.S. is sending the World Bank $25 billion, and then the World Bank is sending the money to the Clintons, and then the Clintons are sending it to Ukraine. Now, if you think the Clintons are the only profiteers feasting on the proxy war, you're wrong. Joe Biden just appointed a Democrat mega donor to be Ukraine reconstruction czar.
We are pleased to extend a warm welcome to Penny Pritzker, former Secretary of Commerce, who was named by President Biden as the special representative for Ukraine's economic recovery.
So how is Penny Pritzker qualified to rebuild Ukraine? Well, She's a billionaire heiress of the Pritzker family who founded Hyatt Hotels and who bankrolled Obama's election. And in return, Penny was named Commerce Secretary.
Okay, you can cut it right there. And I just, I want to say this, okay? Follow the money. And here to talk about the, about banking, about the, about money, about the economy, in addition to other things, including but not limited to using some, using a Civil War era 14th Amendment to keep President Trump off of the 2024 ballot, or to make sure he's not eligible, in quotations, to run. Are any of you surprised about this? Oh, yeah, and about Hillary Clinton? Eric, the Texas, does that mean that she's going to run? Well, maybe, maybe. To that I say, Eric the Tech, oh, it's giving you problems. Oh, it was so good.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
There you go. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
There you go. There you go. None of it should be a surprise. So with me, the Provis Institute, Dr. Richard Proctor. Welcome, sir. It's been a while. How are you?
Oh, very fine, Doug. I'm surely glad to be back on the show with you.
I'm glad to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you feeling?
Hey, well, you know, my head's almost straight.
I see that. I see that. I was going to take my,
Almost put it up. See, almost.
That's good. That's good.
Some people have their head bent like this all the time, so I'm just fitting in.
I actually have a head bend thing going half the time too. So, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, the link to Richard Proctor, as usual, provisinstitute.com, it will be in the program description notes at hagmanpi.com. By the way, real quick, if you go to hagmanpi.com, I did write, I did like a real quick, drive-by, if you will, talking about Colony Ridge, talking about a few other things as well, but specifically the invasion of the U.S. Please, if you have a chance, please go to HagmanPI.com, watch it, read what I wrote, follow the links, and spread it among social media, as well as please subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon, and I would really appreciate that. And if you want to, give us a thumbs up or not, it doesn't matter. But when you subscribe, what happens is it becomes, we become a little bit more out there for people to see. And we really appreciate that. But Richard Proctor has written many great books, including Saving the Constitution, the Liberty Series, which I've got right here next to me. All of his books, folks, if you have, let me tell you something. If from the last time he was on to now, if you have not gotten all of his books, and I mean all of them, Bathroom Economics, the Liberty Series. I mean, if you haven't done that, get them now. Get them today. Because you will understand everything that's going on today. Plus, he's got a new book. I feel like, just felt like Biden whispering. And then I'm going to start shouting. And then I'm going to go to poopies in my pants.
That's the new book right there.
There it is. Hidden Lies of Banking. And we're going to be talking about this because, you know, there's a way out of this mess. If they would only listen to Richard. But good.
It's but. Not hard to do either, Doug. It's just not hard to do. You know, right.
Yeah, it's not.
Everybody says, well, what can one person do? Well, one person can do quite a lot if one person wants to do quite a lot. For example, let's just take the banking system we have today.
Okay, let's do that.
If there's a person who thinks it's okay, he needs to, well, we need to find him a place in the local insane asylum. Folks, the banking system is an absolute horror. And it doesn't have to be. And it's all caused by the Federal Reserve and the FDIC. Just as an aside, people think the FDIC is an insurance organization to protect their money. Not so. Not so, folks.
Yeah.
The FDIC is an inspector of banks to make sure they're not violating anything that the Federal Reserve wants them to do.
Well, I had to separate all my money because, you know, yeah. different banks, because I just can't keep $250,000 or, you know, $1 million. I'm kidding. But the fact is, it's all an illusion, right?
Yes, it's an illusion. It's a complete illusion. And we buy into it because we've been taught over and over and over again since the 30s to do that. That's the 1930s, okay, to do that. And that's just one item. Here's another item. Now, I just learned this a few months ago, and I've been studying these things for a long time. Any time a Federal Reserve Bank makes a loan, they must have assets in the background that backs up that loan. So if they make a loan of $1 million to somebody for somebody's home, $1 million has to be backed up by the home, yes, but it has to also be backed up by assets that the bank owns somehow else. So therefore, they can't loan out any money if they do not have assets to back it up. Now, I didn't know that till just recently. But you see, what that does is that ties the bank's hands so they can't do things. And that's the purpose. See, the purpose of the Federal Reserve is not to make banking for us. It's to destroy banking for us. It's to keep us under control every way it can. If we had a private bank system, private citizens banking system, a banking system authorized by the state, but outside of the Federal Reserve.
Well, we've had that. I mean, before.
Oh, in the past, yes, yes. We worked that way for over 100 years. Every bank was outside the Federal Reserve because it didn't exist.
Right.
And until the 1930s, the FDIC didn't exist. And each one of these things is out to destroy us. All we have to do is get enough people, and that does take some time and some effort, but get enough people who say, yeah, we want to have this bank because it's under the control of the state legislature right there. They control it. If they say no, then there isn't one. But if they say yes, then it is. And you see, what muddies the waters, when I talk to the senators and the representatives of our state, what muddies the waters is they say, well, people want to have the FDIC, and this won't happen. And I say, yeah, but they don't have to come to this bank. They can go to any bank they want. All we want is a room, a building, a safe where we can do banking. Nothing else. We don't care about any other bank. They can all do everything they're doing. We just want to be able to do a bank for the people rather than a bank for Wall Street and the federal government. And that's
okay. Okay. So you mentioned quite a few things there. Now, look, I think our look, we've got, and I'm not blowing smoke up your skirts, ladies, or your pant legs, gentlemen. Okay. But I do believe that we've got a very, very astute audience that knows the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor they don't have any reserves. I know that they know that. I know it's a sham. I mean, I know they know it's a sham. I know that they know pretty much all of this, okay? But here we are today, and it seems like it's like Groundhog Day with respect to, okay, the with the CRs, the continuing resolution, about, well, you know, we can extend the funding of the government. This is all crap. I mean, all of this is crap because we should... and now, of course, and because I want to talk to you about this too, about this central bank digital currency crap that's coming up here. Okay,
it will destroy us.
It not only will it destroy us, I'm not going to comply, and you can't make me comply, Richard. You can't make me comply, or anyone else out there.
Well, Doug, let me just mention something. Make you comply if they take control of all of your money in your bank. Now, what will you do?
I'll go rogue. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You just ask Eric the Tech how close to the edge I am right now. Okay. I will go rogue along with a lot of my fellow patriots. We will go rogue. And by going rogue, I'm not going to explain what I mean. But I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty.
Well, you see, you're going to go rogue and with everybody that will go with you. But the population of this country will be in dire straits just because they don't have a bank they can use to do banking with. They don't have a way to have their paycheck sent to a bank. They don't have a way to write a check. They don't have a way to use a credit card. if the federal government, i.e. the FDIC and the Federal Reserve, if they say you cannot have it, then you won't have it.
Well, let them say that, okay? What's this? Okay, here's my... I'm chewing a lozenge. I apologize. I guess I shouldn't do that on air. Here's my problem with this. How in the hell can they enforce a central bank digital currency, especially with like the drug trade, the illicit drug trade, or the prostitution trade, or the gambling, illegal gambling, or I don't know, name something else. I mean, how can they do that? They're not going to, you're not going to have a pimp go along with the central bank. You're not going to have a drug dealer going along with this. So how can they, what's going to happen to them?
Let's follow the money. That's a good idea. Always follow the money.
There you go.
The bankers all are paid for and solicited and kept in business by a group of people above the federal government. I call them the International Banking Establishment. That organization controls the banks, and the banks must do what that organization tells them to do. They don't must, but they will. So it's not the Federal Reserve that's going to monitor us. It's the local bank guy. So all of a sudden, it isn't a big group of people that who are trying. It's a small area. If you bank with, well, I don't know, say 123 Bank here in North Dakota, okay? If you go to 123 Bank in North Dakota and you bank there, the people in charge will tell the bank, you cannot do this and this and this and this. And if they try to, those people in charge won't fund them. They'll get them out. They're done. They're gone. And okay, they don't want that. And they're under the control and under the thumb of the money, where the money's coming from. It's also personal money to them, whenever, like we call them bribes, but that's fine. Every personal money to them so that they will do what these guys want. And they'll cut that money off too. How do you think all these legislatures and congressmen, how do you think they start on a shoestring and retire as millionaires? Where does all that money come from? Doesn't come from their paycheck. No, 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 no.
Yeah, exactly.
The money's coming from somewhere. That's why they do what they do. Not because they're dummies, because they're as smart as you can be. They know where their funds come from. They're not going to cut them off. And that's what the banks will do too, just the same. So the federal government won't have to enforce it. The local bank manager will.
Okay. So let me follow your logic here. Okay. So the local branch manager, bank manager will be the one to cut me off, right? Is that okay? All right.
Yep, you're out.
I know where he lives. I know his wife's name. I know where his kids go to school.
Yes.
Okay. Now.
But he's not afraid of you.
Why not?
Because you're not going to go burn his house down, Doug. You don't do that kind of stuff. I mean,
not yet. Not yet. But I got
not yet.
Not yet. But here's the thing. You can only push someone so far, okay? Look, I've been banned, I've been harassed, okay. However, you take away my ability to have a normal life, okay? To have a bank account, or to be able to pay my property taxes, or to be able to buy food. Okay, things are going to get real pretty damn quick. Okay, so.
Yeah, we'll have rebellion in the streets.
Yes, which is what I'm talking about.
And that's the demise of our country.
Well.
And that's what they want.
Well, what's the alternative?
I have the alternative if you want to do it. Because remember, I just said the bank manager is going to do it. But what if the bank manager doesn't care and they won't do it because they're not beholden to these dudes?
Okay.
There's an answer.
Okay.
That's why we need the banking system, so that we don't have to have rebellion in the streets to be able to do the things that you just said you want to be able to do.
Okay, then how do... Okay, so now I know we've spoken about this before. What do we need to do to unscrew this and to go with your plan? What do we need to do?
You only have to do one thing. It's all it is. although it's a pretty big one. You've got to get enough people in your state, some with charisma that can talk, and get about $2 million together and organize the bank.
Okay,
under the authority of the state, audited by the state, but completely foreign, outside of completely the Federal Reserve.
Well, you lost me at charisma and $2 million. I mean, take your pick. Okay, so I'm out with charisma. And I'm out with $2
million. 10 people with 200,000, there's a lot of people with 200,000. 10 people with 200,000 that are willing to invest, not donate, invest in the bank.
Okay.
That's all it takes. The charisma is somebody who can talk to folks and help them understand it. I have no charisma. I cannot seem to get it done. 6 years, 7 years I've been working at this, and I cannot seem to get it done because I don't have whatever it takes to reach these people emotionally. I can reach them logically, but that doesn't do the trick. We need to have people that can go to a meeting and fill the room. Fill the room. I can get 100 people, but I can't fill the room. You got to have that kind of thing. And that plus 10 people with 200,000 or some number like that, you got your 2 million.
Okay. So
away you go.
Okay, hang on now. All right. So let's just say I get 100 people. And out of the 100 people, we've got 3 million combined.
Good. Okay. Perfect.
I'm tossing in my 50 bucks. Okay. So we got 3. All right. Eric the Tech, you got more than that. Okay. So, we have the people. We got somebody with charisma. Now what do we do?
Okay, this is what you do. You gather in groups and bring your friends over and over and over again until you have a grassroots group. Then that grassroots people go to the state legislature and they say very clearly, you do what we want or we ain't voting for you again. You're out of office.
Oh, that'll scare the dickens out of them, won't it?
Yeah, well, it will, actually, because money's how they get elected. But if the people won't vote for them no matter what they put on the screen, then they're out of office, and that's their job. That's their livelihood. They don't know how to do a job in a business. They know how to do government job. So you threaten them. That's power. My, oh my, I'm a senator of the state. Oh, I'm a big dude. Oh, I'm a representative. Ah, ha, ha. Look at how important I am. They lose that. That's not good. That's the emotional side. They don't want to lose it. So that grassroots group gathers and forces these people to either do it, just approve it. I'm not asking for, don't ask for anything else. Every bank in the country stays, doesn't matter. Just let us have a chance to do a different kind of bank.
So this has got to be voted, approved, I guess is the better word, by your state legislature, right?
Yes. Yes, and it really should be veto-proof if you can possibly do it, because one guy can stop it if it's not veto-proof.
Veto-proof.
Yeah. In other words, the governor can't veto it.
Okay. All right. I got. I'm following you. I'm tracking here. Okay.
Yeah.
So this will put an end, or no, I shouldn't say that. This will provide an alternative to central bank digital currency. Hostage taking by the Federal Reserve, right? This will wipe all that out and kind of go back to, and folks, if you're a coin collector or whatever, I'm sure you probably have the old notes, money from banks, different banks and stuff like that. So this is kind of what you're talking about, right? Back when
the banks would issue money. Going back to there was no Federal Reserve controlling it. It's no central bank controlling it.
Right. Okay.
Now, people will say, but why would we go to that bank? Well, let me say why we will go to that bank. How many people in this audience? I don't want to raise up hands.
I don't know.
But how many people in the audience, if you had a bank just down the street that will refinance your home at 2%, would say, no, I won't do that?
The line starts there. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, the line starts there. There is no limit to what this bank can do except borrowers.
Except
borrowers. So here, credit card will be about 6%. Not 36, not 25, not 18, not 20, 6.
Okay.
Established by the bank. You see, the interest rate's not established by the banking system. It's established by a committee in New York City in the Pratt House.
Oh, of course. The same way everything else is manipulated.
Yes, it's the same way.
As such, yes.
So here we have a bank that's not anything to do with the Pratt House in New York City. Therefore, we don't have to follow their interest rates. There's no reason for it to be at 6-7%. No reason at all. This committee just chooses it. That's all. Because they want to rattle the people. They want people out of their homes. They want to have all kinds of bankruptcies. They just want to destroy the finances. And I just mentioned the 2% on your mortgage. But don't forget all the other personal loans, all the other stuff. 4%, you know.
Okay.
I'm just living on the 4%.
I can't imagine the us being allowed to do that. Us, we the people, being allowed to do this. So there's a bank. So you develop a bank. I can't imagine the state legislature having a veto-proof margin approving this. Let's say they do. And all of a sudden, this bank is flourishing, operating outside of the federal system. Okay.
Yes.
I can just see somebody, you know, coming up and saying, hey, that's a pretty good looking bank you got there. It would be a shame if it burnt down during the night or if
destruction, vandals, paid for by the Federal Reserve.
Of course.
So we just open it. We just take it to another place and open the next day.
Or it'd be a shame if something happened to your manager or your funds or
folks. If you're going to worry about that kind of stuff, might as well not do it anyway.
There you go.
You gotta do something and get off your butts.
Okay, and I agree with you on that. So how many, in theory, okay, how many do you need of these?
How many branches do you need?
How many banks branches?
I'm talking about in the state now. In the state. As many as you want. If you want to have one, we got a little community here in Kaysville. It's got about 40,000 people, some number like that. We could have two.
Okay.
Salt Lake County has a couple million people. They can have hundreds.
Now, your book, Hidden Lies of Banking, does it explain this?
Yes.
I know the answers, by the way. I'm asking.
Okay. Of course. Yeah. That book right there that you've got on the screen, Hidden Lies of Banking,
right,
explains what the banking system is doing to us in all the ways, in free trade, standard of living, all those things are all discussed there. And the last part, the last chapters, talk about how to do the bank itself. It includes the bill that you can give to the legislature. Okay. It includes a chart showing the results of this bank and why it will appeal to the legislature. Let me explain something. The legislature has a problem with financing. It always will, because it has to tax the people or get it from the federal government, and they can't do loans like the federal government can because they're liable to pay them back. Federal government have to pay them back. They print money. But the state banks do, and the state government does. The state legislature has to have money to operate. Okay, now, I've got to split this discussion now into two separate periods.
All right.
We're going to pick the date of 2019. Okay. Now, there's a chart in the back of the book that shows two charts are in the back of the book in Appendix 5. Two charts. The first chart shows what did happen prior to 2019. The second shows what is happening after 2019. What's the difference? In 20, the Federal Reserve decided that there was no reason to keep any reserve money in the banks any longer. There was no 10% requirement any longer. It just went away. And the rationale?
Who decided that?
Federal Reserve decided. Pratt House in New York City decided.
Now, who was the face of the Federal Reserve?
Oh, the face of the Federal Reserve would be the banking system. All the banks belong to the Federal Reserve. They all do. It's a part of it. There's 12 banks in the Federal Reserve. They're all neighborhood things. They
I mean, Janet Yellen, I mean, who can I blame?
Oh, I don't want to put a name to it because it changes any time they want.
Oh, okay.
But the blame is the people in charge of the Pratt House, which is this Council of Foreign Relations in New York City. That's who's in charge. That's who selects our president. That's who the Electoral College is. Everything that happens in our country happens because the CFR decides it.
Boy, it'd be a shame if something happened to the CFR.
Oh, yeah. There's 11. There's more than 11,000. I got a list of them. A list, 10 years ago, and there were over 11,000 members of the CFR throughout our country. It's a huge organization, and they have a weekly, a magazine that comes out bi-monthly, every 2 months, Foreign Affairs. In the Foreign Affairs magazine, everybody in the CFR is told what we're going to do next. So if you want to know what's going to happen, get a copy of that, and you'll know what's coming up. Because that's how they get the word out, through their Foreign Affairs magazine. Every 2 months, out comes a new one. That's how they choose who they're going to choose to run for president. The people who want to run for president write articles. The CFR puts it in, and you know that person is approved. That's how it's done. They are in charge. And don't think it's the federal government. No, it's not. Don't think it's the state government. It's not. It's those people right there. The state government, you can get rid of the folks just by what I just explained. We're not going to vote for you. You're out of here. I don't care how much money you've got. That gets rid of the problem, but the federal government's still there. And if you're taking any money from the federal government, then the federal government will send federal marshals and all kinds of stuff to pounce on you and shut you down. And they'll be able to if you don't have a militia. Ah, these things all tie together. I've been talking to them on this show for 3-4 years now. Isn't that about right, Doug? 3 years? I've been talking about the militia and those kind of things for that long. And a few places do have the skeleton, something beginning, but it doesn't have any power. We must do something. Now, I'm going to say this. In 1775 and prior, we had colonies with about 3 million people. Growing, of course. About 3% of that decided they were going to kick out the British government.
Yep.
And they did it.
With about less than 3%, roughly.
Less than 3%. And they did it without funds. The guys weren't paid. It was terrible. It was terrible for the average soldier. Nonetheless, they did it.
And they paid a hell of a price for it.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely did. I'm sorry, guys. We are lacking in backbone. Those people paid with their lives for our freedom. And we can't even take time enough to read the Constitution and know what they did for us. Now, think about that for a minute. I'm sorry, guys. The book Saving the Constitution, this book, you know, you guys have seen it.
Yeah.
Let me get it right focused here. There it is. Anyway, I'm trying to put it there. I can't get it from the camera. There it is. Okay, that book right there tells you, there's a nice copy, tells you exactly what the Constitution says. And there isn't another one printed that does that. I've been saying that for 3 years, too.
Nobody has challenged
me. Nobody has challenged me. That is the only book in the United States world that says what the United States Constitution says.
A little plug here, Richard. I will say this, okay? I thought I knew the Constitution, and look, folks. Okay, I'm not. To me, you know what? I'm a halfway intelligent guy, but until I read Saving the Constitution, I really didn't understand some of the little nuances in there. That, like you said, I mean, there are so many connections. It's just an amazing read. So, folks, if you don't have it already, grab your copy of Saving the Constitution. And if it sounds like a sales pitch, it is. Because you know what? Our country's at stake. And if you get a problem with that, well, you can bite me. Because I'll tell you what, if you can't do this, then I don't even know what the hell you're doing listening to this broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you just pointed out something that's quite important. We talked about attorneys just a few minutes ago.
We did.
I thought we did.
No,
maybe we did. I think. I mean, well, it was before the show, and yeah. I said attorneys can make anything out of anything. Anyway, they can. And they all passed the bar, which is the British Accreditation Register. And they're all, every one of them, Esquire, nobility. The 13th Amendment, which was published in 13, says that they can't even be citizens of the United States. Now, when the Constitution was written, attorneys existed. Now, I'm in the Sixth Amendment, the last sentence. That's a key, last sentence. Almost nobody reads the last sentence. The Sixth Amendment in the last sentence says that a defendant is compelled, they have compulsory persons for obtaining witnesses in his favor and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Assistance of counsel. Folks, that's not an attorney. They had attorneys. If they had wanted to have attorneys do it, they would have said, and to have attorneys for his defense. But they didn't. They said assistance of counsel. They wrote attorneys out on purpose because they were a part of the hierarchy of the British government. But what have we done? We passed the British Accreditation Register so that we can be an attorney in the United States. We're officers of the court, so you really can't stand up for your person. Everything is fixed so that you can't have a decent trial and justice unless you've got scads of money. I know a fellow in Idaho. Interesting. His name is Richard Proctor. He was born on the 30th of March, just like I was. It's a fascinating deal. He went in and tried to do assistance of counsel for one of his friends and won the case. Then they took him to court for practicing law without a license. He had the Constitution behind him, and he fought with them for a long time. Folks, assistance of counsel is true. There have been people with assistance of counsel that have met with the Supreme Court on items. Assistance of counsel is not an attorney. I'll bet nobody in this audience knew that there's a difference between an attorney and assistance of counsel, or that even an assistance of counsel was authorized. And that's the kind of stuff that's in the computer that we just don't know about. And it's there. Just an interesting sideline. Just an interesting little thing.
Okay.
There's just so much in that computer, in that little book. This
right.
one.
Right.
This is the same one, by the way, that I've been using all the time we've been talking. It's worn out. I mean, it's really worn out.
As it should be.
Look at that. That's what every book you own should look just like this does. Okay? Worn out.
And I'll tell you something. I do want to, just between you and I, folks, I do want to create a Hagman Report Constitution, copy of the Constitution, Bill of Rights as well. And give those to people because they need that. But that's a discussion for another day. Okay, so
that would be good. You could use this book to go through the amendments to see how you want to do it. Did you know? Oh, I don't know. You probably do now. We've talked about it a lot. Eight amendments are completely against portions of or all of eight amendments in the Bill of Rights are completely against the Constitution. Completely.
You know, yeah. And we can talk about that, too, because I don't even know how that happens. I mean, when you think about it.
Money talks.
What's that?
Money talks.
Money talks.
Louder than anything else in we've got. I'm going to read something to you guys that, just for grins, yeah, I'm going to read the 16th. I'm going to get to it here in a minute. I'm going to read it right here, the 16th Amendment. Here it is. I got it out of the book here. It's on page, well, the pages vary because there's been a few changes in the book. 215, 16th Amendment. This is what it says. I'm going to read it to you right out of the Constitution. The reason I'm using the book is because I got another reference. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes. That is absolutely true. It is the first line in Section 8 of the first paragraph of Article 1. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes. After that, there's nothing correct on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. Now, without apportionment is in violation. Whatever source is in violation, without regard to a census is in violation. To guard or an enumeration is in violation. So this is what it really says. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, no matter what the Constitution of the United States says. Now, that's what that amendment is. How did it get passed? Because money and media sold it to everybody, and they ratified it.
What year was that, roughly?
It was ratified in 13, went to the Supreme Court in 16, and the Supreme Court said, oh, yeah, that's completely constitutional. Almost no words in that after the first 10 are constitutional.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Again, confirming what I thought. Okay.
That's how it's done, you see. Money. We're stupid. We vote for who has the money because they get on TV and they say, I'm a good guy and I'll do what you want. Whatever you want, send me a letter and I'll do it.
Well,
now, you know, that's a crock.
You know, I don't know what's wrong with people because, again, in 2020, we had an election stolen. That's right. I can say that because communist tube, I'm not on communist tube. They don't want the likes of me. But in 2020, we had an election stolen because you're never going to convince me that Mr. Potato Head, okay, actually got more votes than Donald Trump. Never, ever, ever, ever. So they used a combination of machines and mail-in ballots and fraudulent ballots and Sharpies and
yeah, but there's another factor here that we don't address very often. It's the presidency that ran, not Biden, but Biden and the vice president. They ran together. Well, the vice president isn't a citizen of the United States.
Of course not. No.
So, she's not a citizen of the United States.
But
she's
who gives a crap? You know, it's like you can tell people that, and it's like it doesn't even friggin' matter. The rules are out the door. So, you know, and this is where I'm at right now. So if you don't want to play by the rules, we won't play by the rules. But you're not going to like the way I don't play by the rules. If you know what I mean.
Absolutely right. I agree with you. And we could look in this little book right here, and in section, in Article 6. Now, that's important. That's not just an amendment. That's the article. That's the real thing. The amendments were added. This is the real thing. I'm in Article 6. I'm in Paragraph 3. And it says, the senators and representatives aforementioned and members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and the several states, shall be bound by oath to support this Constitution.
Yes.
There's their authority to throw out anything that's not constitutional. Right there. And they don't even know it's there.
And yet so along those lines, you've got a bunch of idiots and morons and intellectually bankrupt people, especially in the media.
Especially
in the media, who before the show we were talking, the 14th Amendment is going to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Okay. Huh? It's almost as if they repeat it enough, it's going to come true. You know, kind of click your heels three times.
That's right. The 14th Amendment was written to keep people who had been Southerners in the Civil War, had been Southerners, or the War of Aggression, whatever you want to call the thing, those people who were in violation and swore to take an oath of another entity were not allowed to be in office. That's what the 14th Amendment says. That's what it's about. It's the third paragraph. That's what it's about. It's not about today. It's about then. Trump has committed no treason. He's committed no violation of the law. All this stuff is trumped up.
No point.
They don't want him there.
Yeah.
They even changed the impeachment process. I can't say these stupid because they're not stupid. They figured out how to do it. They went to the impeachment process, left some stuff out, and said, we're going to impeach Trump after he'd left office. You can't impeach somebody of office if they're not in the office.
Nancy Pelosi can. I mean, hell, she can do whatever she wants.
That's right, and that's what she was doing. Yeah. And the bottom line, folks, is that we have people that know how to manipulate us. And that's all they do.
So okay. Now, we have a foundational document. And folks, again, saving the Constitution, it really explains the Constitution in a manner that I can understand it. And it puts, again, it nuances, it provides a lot of great information, Saving the Constitution. It's one of my favorite books, and I mean that. And I read a ton. I mean, you can ask Eric the Tech. I'm always reading. But, okay, so we have a foundational document. Okay, but, and we have a Bill of Rights, obviously. But my question to you is, if that is in jeopardy, and gee, I know the answer to this, what do we do? Because it's in jeopardy right now.
Well, the reason it's in jeopardy is because the federal government controls us, and the international banking establishment controls us. If we didn't have those two organizations controlling us, we had our own banking system, we could thumb our nose at them. And the state could nullify everything that's unconstitutional. You know, I go through the Bill of Rights with a red pencil, and everything that's unconstitutional in the Bill of Rights, let me rephrase that, everything that's being used unconstitutionally, everything that's been stolen from us that's in the Bill of Rights, if I underlined all those things, it would be red lettered.
Right. And almost, thank you for correcting
that. Don't have
that.
Anything. Yeah. Let's just go to the Second Amendment, which we all think we know. Oh, boy, we know there's a well-regulated militia is where it starts. Well, we got to take that away because they pretend like that's the National Guard. It's necessary for the security of a free state. We got to take that out because we don't have a free state. The right to keep and bear arms, we got to take that out because we're not allowed to keep and bear arms. They choose what we're going to keep. Bottom line, this was written when we had muskets, bows and arrows, and all that kind of stuff. That's what they were talking about. Today, they would be talking about all the armaments that shoot bullets. All of them. If the government can have it, the militia should have it, and the people should have it. Done. But that whole amendment is wrong.
I can just envision Brian Stelter and others, Rachel Madcow, their heads going boop, boom, okay, saying, oh, no, so Richard Proctor saying you should have an F-35 that you can, you know, kind of bail out of. And
you should have if you want it, you should have a howitzer in your backyard.
I do. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, Eric.
You see, the militia has the weapons of the most modern weapons. The most modern weapons.
Right.
That's what militia is. And who is the militia? The people is the militia.
But
so the people have access to the most modern weapons, including planes.
Hey Newsom. Hey Newsom, you can bite Richard and bite me when you're talking about taking away our ability to he wants a 28th Amendment to curtail our ownership of weapons. That's in case you haven't heard, Gavin Newsom, that communist extraordinaire, wants a 28th Amendment to take away our weapons.
Okay, that's in violation of the Constitution because the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraphs 13 and 14, that neighborhood, say that the militia is necessary and you should set it up and this is how it's done.
Yeah.
So since it's in violation of the Constitution, it's null and void. Period. Out of here. Forget it.
But the argument from the left, though, just to be clear, is, well, you're not part of a militia, so you shouldn't be armed. They're talking about militia. They're talking about an organized, a well-organized militia, meaning like the National Guard.
Every person in, every male person of armament age, of fighting age, should be a part of the militia in some degree. So they are.
And that's the thing that I have to, we are the flipping militia, folks. We are the militia.
Yes, we are. And there are more guns in some of the states, the hunting states. There are more guns and there's more ammunition than all, than many of the third world countries combined. And that's just one state.
Good. Come and get them.
The Japanese were afraid of our gun law, our guns in our hands in our country. That's why they didn't come on after right. Pearl Harbor.
Right.
They were afraid to come here. You see, their people worship their people and they do everything they're told to do. Well, we don't do that. We have guns. No one's told to use them, but they're not told not to. And these people that have guns are experts. They're experts. I mean, if you watch some of these movies about the War of 1812, they talk about guys with rifles. They can pick folk off at 300 or 400 yards with a rifle, with one of their muskets. Our sharpshooters, they're really good. A guy can sit there with the proper binoculars and the proper stuff and just in a tree or in a hidden spot and pick off people half a mile away now.
Okay, and that's one thing that I want people to really understand, because, you know, Biden up there making a totally complete ass of himself, as he always does, saying, well, you know, you can't fight against the government. We've got the aircraft. We've got the whatever he said, okay, that made absolutely no sense. Yeah, how'd that work in Afghanistan? How'd that work in Black Hawk Down? How did that work in Somalia? Yeah. How did that work? By the way, how'd that work in Vietnam, you moron? Okay.
Exactly right. And in fact, our guys are so skilled with the use of weapons that the federal government and the army would be hard pressed to do anything against them. Sure, they have machine guns and things like that, but they have to see the enemy to do it. The snipers and the skill of our people would outdo it completely. It wouldn't be easy. I'm sorry. Some guys would be killed. I'm sorry. That's a revolution.
Crap happens, man. You know.
But you gotta do something. Get off your dimes. You know, the comment that we know this, everybody knows it. Everybody knows this is not being followed. Everybody knows it. Everybody, but nobody's doing anything about it.
You see, Richard, and we're going to go. I can tell we're going to go into overdrive here. Here's the thing. I mean, and I'm speaking to everyone listening to this. They, meaning the globalist sycophants, the people who lick the boots of people like Klaus Schwab, the blasphemers like Yuval Noah Harari, the worst of the worst like Bill Gates, depopulationists, and most assuredly the demonic like and including Hillary, Diane Rodham, the yak, Clinton, got to bring the yak back. Okay, and Bill Clinton, these people. Okay, where was I going with this when I started this?
All the people that lick the boots of those folks don't want us to do these things, and they want us scared to death.
But you know what? They're the ones that need to be afraid of us. They are going to push us. Oh, I know where I was going. They are pushing us to a point where, all right, you know, you really want to do this? You really want this central bank digital currency, this panopticon of surveillance, so you can see where we're spending money and control where we're spending money? You really want to do that? You really want to take away our gas stoves? You really want to take away our AC? You really want to make smart cities? Okay, look what's going on in Hawaii, okay? I'm going to tell you what, if those Hawaiians, Native Hawaiians, affected by that fire, if they don't start buying rope and looking at those people responsible for what's going on, I don't know. I mean, if somebody burned me out of my house, okay, I would be looking, believe me, I'd be looking
And that wasn't the only fire, too, by the way. There was another one a few miles away from it, having the same kind of problems.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. As long as you and I have been talking, it hasn't gotten bad enough. It has not gotten bad enough for the average American citizen. It hasn't have impacted them. Wait until you can't do commerce online. Wait until you can't go to the bank anymore because the bank doesn't want the likes of you. You think it's just YouTube? YouTube is bullshit. Nothing. Okay. YouTube is that's candy. I'm talking about your very survival. And when it gets bad enough, folks, I'm telling you, all hell is going to break loose. And I guarantee you that people like the bootlickers and the Satanists and the globalists, they are going to be in for it. I guarantee you. But see, Richard, as long as you and I have been talking, it just hasn't gotten bad enough. People haven't been impacted by this.
And you know, it's horribly worse than it was when we started.
Yes.
Horribly worse.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the frog, they say. I've never seen this happen. You put the frog in cold water, he sits there, he's happy, warm it up a little, he's happy. Boiling him, he didn't go anywhere because it was slowly done to him. Well, folks, that's what's happened to the supreme law of the land.
Exactly.
It has been slowly destroyed, one little bit at a time. And nobody paid any attention. They didn't. I have a room now in my home. I'm setting up classes. I'll be lucky if I get two people to attend.
Why? Because you suck as a teacher? No.
Probably.
No, that's not the reason.
They don't care. They don't want it. I volunteer to go to their home now and talk to them. They don't want. No,
I don't have time. I got to watch. You know, I got to watch Bridezilla. Is that still on? I don't know.
And here's another thing, Doug, about that very thing. Us LDS people, we really believe in our religion and our leaders. We really do. We consider them to be prophets of God. Okay. Now, a few years ago, one of these brethren, one of the top guys, I'm not talking about just anybody, one of the very leaders, the three people that are the very leaders of the church, said, "You guys need to learn the Constitution." Now, I paraphrase, but that's what he said. 2 weeks later, a gentleman was standing here, and I said, "Well, you know, he said we ought to learn the Constitution, so don't we do it?" "Oh, yeah, we should." "Well, I'll come by, you know, and I'll help you." "Nope, I don't want you to." And that's the attitude. So it's not just, it's everybody. Everybody.
Well,
they just do not want to know what this says.
I'll help you. No, I don't want you to help me. Why not? Because you know everything? I mean, seriously. If someone, look, if I'm going to build a garage and someone says, "I'll help you," and they know a hell of a lot more than I do about construction, I would welcome them with open arms, okay? But yet you've got this, again, this. It's not bad enough right now. And folks, it will get bad. Trust me. You're not going to be able to buy food. Understand what I'm saying. Not only won't there be food to buy, but when you can buy it, you won't be able to feed your family. It's going to take a crying child in your crib.
That's already happened. That has already happened in you and my time together.
It has.
COVID, they destroyed food. The federal government destroyed food while people were going without.
Yes.
There's nothing on the shelves and they still destroyed it. But nobody raised hell about it. Nobody did anything. They just complained that there was nothing on the shelves. But they allowed everything else to happen. Nobody rose up and helped the farmers to not plow up all the good potatoes in Idaho. Do you know, we had people, there were piles. I'm talking about mounds. Well, not mountains, actually, but significant piles of potatoes going to rot in the field. So they invited people from out here, down here in Salt Lake and south of here, drove up to Idaho to buy all the potatoes they could very cheaply and bring them back.
Did anyone tell Five Guys that? I mean, my goodness, I'm just saying. Okay, Never mind. You probably don't know what
another
that is.
Fellow that I met while I was doing all my videos. He's, I don't remember his states, but it's down Nebraska, Kansas way. He knows. It happened to him. His cattle, pigs, chickens were killed by federal agents. And no, and his wasn't the only farm, by the way.
Wait. Okay.
They destroyed his product.
Well, okay, so you got a farmer. Okay, walk me through this because I have a feeling that I'm going to get even more angry. But go on.
Told me what happened.
Yeah.
His wasn't the only one. It was he just talked about his, but his neighbors too. The federal guys came in and killed his cattle and his pigs and his chickens, destroyed eggs, poured milk out, all kinds of stuff, and nobody went up in arms about it. They just allowed it to happen.
First of all, why did the federal government come in and do that?
Because they didn't want it sold in the market in the marketplace, so you and I wouldn't have food.
Okay, so farmer Dell watches this happen at his farm. Meanwhile, neighbor Jones over there is watching it happen at farmer Dell's farm, right?
It happen on his own.
No one's doing a friggin' thing about it.
Just sitting there saying, oh my, oh woe is me, what will I do? Oh, this is terrible. I'm losing my livelihood. Well, he did anything, but they stayed on the couch and talked about it.
Obviously, they haven't seen the series Yellowstone, but okay. That's just me. I just had to binge watch the entire five seasons of it. But okay, so see, that's the problem that we've got. And we've got to correct that problem. And
so we're afraid, and we can't seem to gather people. But individually, we're afraid. Let's just take the mask issue. You know, there are people still wearing masks to protect themselves from COVID.
You know, I was out the other day and I saw somebody wear a mask. I actually told that individual to take that stupid thing off. Okay.
Yeah.
But I had, let me rephrase that. I just didn't walk up to someone. There was, I took my dog to the vet. Okay. She's not doing well. She's got Cushing's. And so there was this technician wearing this. I thought it was a friggin' dog muzzle for a second there. And I said, take it off. Take that off. I can't understand a word you're saying. Well, no, I can't say it. I said, then give me someone else that's not a moron. I did that. Okay. But see, unless and until every one of us does that, then you know what? We can talk until we are blue and nothing's going to change.
Right. That's right. And we don't have to have everybody, just a few, just enough to make a noise. I know all the people that are living off the government and they don't want to work and they're living off the government. They're not going to participate because what we're doing is taking money out of their pockets if we stop these things. So they're not going to participate. But folks, there's enough of us that are ready to go, ready to do things. I will hold classes in my home. I will go on the internet, Skype, Zoom, whatever, and teach people, help people understand this document, this book, the banking book. I'll do that. I have never stopped volunteering that.
Okay.
And I still get a request every now and again. I'm going tomorrow night to a group of people here in Ogden. Now, we're hoping that group of people is 50 to 75 or maybe 100. I hope so. We'll find out.
Hell, I'd talk to three. Okay, 2-1. Point.
I'll do it. No matter if two people show, I'll still do it. One person shows.
By the way, folks, go to HagmanPI.com in the program description box. You're going to see Provost Institute. The link there, click on that link. And from there, you can actually talk to that man on the other side of the screen. Reach out and touch him, you know. You can actually talk to him. And arrange classes, arrange whatever. You can do this. You've got to do this. But here's the thing. You know, the thing. I'm quoting, paraphrasing Mr. Potato Head. But think about this. Okay, we've got in New York City and big cities, blue cities, generally speaking, these gangs. They go in there and they rob stores. Okay, you've seen the videos. A bunch of gang members go in and rob stores, take purses, take whatever, take phones, take whatever they want out of the stores. And they walk out because they know they're not going to get punished by the judicial system. Not the justice system, but the legal system that we've got that's broken. I've got the answer to that. It's really simple answer to that. I can fix that. I guarantee you I can fix that in one day. And that's to have 1, 2, 3, 4 people outside of various stores with 44 magnums, okay, or the weapon of your choice, and take out a few and just pile them up outside the door, okay. I guarantee after about 3 or 4 times, they'll get the message and it'll stop. The reason I bring that up in the context of this conversation is that's where mentally I believe we have to be when we talk about the Constitution, we talk about banking, we talk about what you're doing. And if you're not committed to that level, then you know what? You might as well just, bend over and kiss your backside goodbye.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right, Doug. That's where we are. I have two books I think are the most important.
The Constitution,
Saving the Constitution, right, and The Hidden Lies of Banking. These are crucial books to our time right now. Crucial. And they're set. And I haven't sold yet 500 of the banking book.
Well, okay, let's put a call out right now. You know what, folks, if you're serious about this. Okay, we're not asking you to mortgage your flipping house, okay? How much is The Hidden Lies of Banking?
Okay, the system of inflation that has occurred, $25 plus postage. I have to do that now.
Yeah, I know.
$3.99. So it's $28.99. That's it.
Okay, $28.99. All right.
If they get two books, it's the same price. But if they get three books, I do not increase the shipping. Shipping stays at $7.98. Does not go up, no matter how many books they buy after the first two.
All right, folks, can you do that? Seriously. And look, I've read all of the books. I've read Hidden Lies of Banking. And by the way, Hidden Lies of Banking, there's some nuggets in there, okay, some that we haven't even come close to talking about. But yes, the two charts that you reference are in there. Very interesting. The Saving the Constitution. You know, you think you know the Constitution. You really don't. You think you do, but you don't. So get that.
No one knows, yeah. Doug, I'm just a thought. In our society today, nobody knows that the last time we voted for the president properly, or we selected, that's the better term, selected the president properly was in 1796.
Yep.
Since that date, that election, we have never done it once correctly. Never.
And take a moment, if you don't mind, because people are going to say, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to go. I'll use this book. Okay. I'll use this book. I'm going to the second article, Article 2. In the second article, we discover in paragraph 2 that each state can appoint a elector based upon the number of people that are in Congress and in Congress from their state, okay? So Utah, that's 6. The electors, now I'm going to read now from this book. The electors shall meet in their respective states. People in Utah meet in Utah. The people in Idaho meet in Idaho. The people in Wyoming meet in Wyoming. Got the picture? That's where they meet. And vote, that should really be nominate, because the vote word isn't the same then as now. Nominate by ballot for 2 people. That's what they're supposed to do. One of these people cannot be a part of the state that they're in. So you can have 2 that are not a part, but you must have 1. one person outside your state, one person inside your state. And they shall make a list of the persons that were nominated. And that will be sent to the state. And state will certify it. Now I'm paraphrasing. There's a lot of words here. The state will certify that list and send it to the president pro tem of the Senate. Nobody meets in Washington. Nobody knows who those electors are going to talk to. Nobody has run for president. Nobody has spent money to buy their presidency. Nobody that's wealthy gets it because of that. Nobody. Statesmen, people that are interested in the country. Lee Iacocca was the guy who saved Chrysler and did a very good job. He was approached to run for president by the Republican Party. I've read his biography. And he said, I won't subject myself to that garbage. Now, properly done, someone from the Electoral College, well, not the elected, but the counters, the people that counted the votes, would have gone to him and said, the people have selected you to be president of the United States. Will you accept it? And he would have said yes. Because the media and the people weren't out to get him. He would have said yes. Today, if we followed this, Trump would be elected. Because there are enough people in this country that want him.
We vote for the electors, not for the person.
Yes.
Which also brings up this BS claim about fake electors.
That's right.
They're, if you, if, you know, to the people, to the media, if you want to show just how little you know about the Constitution, go ahead and show us just how little you know about the Constitution. Talk about fake electors, and there you there. That's it, right there.
Right here. And then it goes on a lot of things about majority vote, this kind of stuff, and how you're going to handle the other, and all those kinds of things. It's quite lengthy. Now, there was an amendment, the 12th Amendment, that changed, and you've got little parens around your thing now, changed the third paragraph of Article 2. And that amendment didn't do anything but change the one list to two. That's all it did. Nothing more than that. Nothing else. That's not a terrible change, but it's not correct. Nonetheless, that's not proper because the law says, the law that the attorneys use says that the contract cannot be abridged, cannot be amended. That's what it says if it changes the original document at all. But it says.
Okay, meaning.
So that amendment is wrong. You throw it out because it changed it to two lists instead of one. That's enough. Throw the whole amendment out.
Okay. Got it.
So that's what I mean is that the guys we would want to have will never be selected because they don't want to put up with the garbage that's created by our media. Well, and they do it on purpose
except Donald Trump, Trump.
And look at what the government's, what everybody's trying to do to him because they're scared to death of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's the front runner, as I understand it.
Yes. Yes.
They're scared to death of him. And they're going to accuse him of everything, including shooting the dogs before we're done.
Oh, they're going to kill, you know what, Richard? They're going to kill him. That's the most likely.
That's how they got Perot out. They said, you'll do what we want or else. So yeah. He did. Then 30 days later, he came back in, but never had an impact again.
Nope.
He was the front runner.
And people don't see. And here's my complaint. People don't remember. I wrote an article at HagmanPI.com. Okay. You might remember this because you're older than dirt like I am, okay? I'm kidding.
Moses and I were buddies, okay? I just want you to know.
I mean, remember Jimmy Carter?
Oh, yeah, I do.
All right, so Billy Carter, his brother, okay, kind of like, If you take Joe Biden with, you know, his crackhead, whoremongering son, Hunter, you have, in Billy Carter, you've got Hunter Light, okay? The worst thing Billy Carter ever did outside of, well, the worst thing he ever did outside of not registering as a foreign agent. And there it is, folks. I would urge you to read this article. I wrote this article. I poured my heart into this article. I mean, I wrote it in crayon originally, and then I did it in Braille. And anyway, look, Billy Carter, when he was on a tarmac in Atlanta, okay, and by the way, he used to drink a half a gallon of vodka a day, Billy Carter. Okay, kind of like Hunter and crack, but Billy and vodka. So he's waiting for a Libyan delegation at the Atlanta airport. And he whips out his skin pickle right there on the tarmac and writes his name on the tarmac in urine, okay? You think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. Where was I going with that? Except to say...
He didn't do bad stuff like we have today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but
we have criminals. Goodness. We have criminals now in the Biden family. Yeah. Absolute criminals.
Yeah.
The justice system, the non-justice system, doesn't pay any attention. We have criminals in the Clinton family, but the non-justice system doesn't pay any attention.
No.
Because they're saying the right things. They're saying the things that the Pratt House once said.
And if you, and by the way, if you think Hunter is, oh my gosh, you know, they're going after him for a gun violation. Oh, take a look at it. Have you seen this friggin' hard drive? Okay. They should bury that guy under the prison. Okay. But anyway, I digress.
There's another committee that's controlling this that we hear a little bit about today, but not a lot. That's the World Economic Forum that meets in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, my favorite.
That's another group. That's the people who control the CFR in the Pratt House.
And so where in the hell did they come from?
Oh, they started in about 1905.
The World Economic Forum?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. They pretend like it's recent. No. It started way back in the early 1900s. And its goal, control the countries of the world. Make sure that they do what we want.
So, okay. So, who in the hell made them boss?
The Illuminati.
Who in the hell made them boss?
Well, that started in 1776 on May 1st.
May 1st, yeah.
Alan Westphal started that.
You're right.
That's who made them boss.
Guys,
it's there. It's in writing. Today, nothing's hidden. I mean, in the past, let's say 50 years ago, nobody would know about these kind of things. Today, everybody knows and nobody cares.
You
haven't said a thing about Hunter Biden that everybody paying any attention at all doesn't know. Yet. He's running scot-free doing whatever he wants.
And that's it. If it were you or I...
would be in prison.
Yeah.
And solitary confinement.
Isn't it something, Richard, that they found cocaine at the White House, but we don't really know. We can't figure out how it got there, who it belongs to, who put it there. Okay, gee, can I buy a clue here? Okay. I mean, and they think you and I are stupid enough to believe this. Of course, the cameras weren't working. Just like at Epstein's prisons, the cameras weren't working, you know. So, hey, you know, as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise.
If you can find cocaine once, you can find it lots of times. One time indicates that it's there lots of times. They just found it once.
That's a great point because... That's a great point. It just doesn't happen once. And folks, you know that. Okay.
Everybody knows it. There's nothing that I say that everybody doesn't understand and know at least some of it. themselves already. Nothing is hidden. It's all right out in the open. Oh, well, pass me another beer, Mabel. I'm going to watch the game.
Well, again, I do believe that the I have nothing to base this on except to say I think there will be an event or series of events that will take place pretty soon that are going to require the men the men among us or the women with the fortitude among us, and shame on us if that, that for not protecting them because they're precious, but something's going to happen that's going to require us to go, you know, go rogue, go nuclear, go, you know, something's going to
happen. I'm going to make a suggestion, Doug. You're right on target.
Right.
I'm a little over 82. Okay. Moses and I were buddies, so I'm not going to run around in the field. I'm not going to run around anywhere.
But nor am I.
I can do this. I can be the guy that helps solidify the reasons for this in any place you want me to be on the through the internet. You want me to come in and tell these people why they're doing what they're doing? I will. I'll do anything anybody wants me to do to try to help rally the folks to understand exactly why they're doing what they're doing.
You can't beat that with a stick. You know,
people don't understand it.
If folks, take advantage of this. Go to the Provost Institute. The link at HagmanPI.com to the Provost Institute. Go there. Also, get a hold of Richard. Do three things. Just three things. How's this? I want to make sure that there. I want to make sure people see that. Okay. Hey, ADL, you okay with this? Okay. Do three things. Number one, purchase Saving the Constitution as well as his book about banking. And for extra credit, purchase all of his books and or the Liberty series as well. Bathroom Economics to help you. I'm telling you, it's a good book. All of the books are good. So, number one, purchase books. Number two, get a hold of Richard. Contact him and say, hey, got a bunch of people here that want to talk to you that you know, we are interested. And have him talk to your group. I'm going to tell you what, he's a hell of a smart guy. Thirdly, let me know you did it. Seriously. Let me know you did it. But seriously.
Let's keep a list, Doug. Let's keep a list of the people who call you on the third.
Well, good luck calling me. Half the time I don't know where my phone is, and the other half the time.
But they would contact you. They'd just send you something.
Yeah, but you know something? It's about time right now for the welfare of our children and their children. It's about time that we do what we have to do to say that we have done everything possible that we could to avoid bloodshed. It's that, I mean, to me, that's where we're at right now.
The measure of an individual doing what you just said is getting the book. And that's the reason. Saving the Constitution and the banking book, those two together can save your hide.
Yeah.
They can.
Prevent bloodshed.
Why,
yeah.
And, yep. One explains how to do it, all the stuff about the Constitution, all the authority. All the authorities explained in the Constitution. The authority's there. That explains that. The bank gets you out of the Federal Reserve and away from all the garbage that's coming from the federal government through the Federal Reserve.
And there it is. You know, you've done some tremendous work. You've written some great books, and I just appreciate you beyond belief. Folks, again, please, you know, look, I'm not asking you to wax my car or to wash the floors. All I'm saying is do yourself a favor, get his books, and also contact him for speaking engagements, whether it be Zoom or Spreaker or in person, or fly him out first class to Vegas.
Well, I'll even come regular class. All they got to do is pay the fee. Actually, I'll drive, and all they have to do is pay my expenses.
All right. Yeah. Just put them in the Prius and point them in the right direction. And no, I'm kidding, but you get the idea, folks. Let's rock and let's do this, because we can do this together. And Richard, I want to thank you.
There are speakers going all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
Talking to groups, and they have good messages. Well, I want to do that.
We don't need the rah-rah. We need the nitty-gritty on what we need to do, and you've got that.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. All right, we're at the end, my brother. Thank you very much. Talk to you off air.
Right.